Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Chuck and Chernoff as we roll into our 4 o'clock hour on The Fan. Brought to you by South Point Financial Services. If you're looking to refinance your home or investment property, you need to contact South Point Financial Services at spfs.com. Braves will go with the Red Sox tonight. Vaughn Grissom, the latest to make his Braves debut. He will bat ninth, play second base. I will give you one little side to all this. Marcell Ozuna's DHing again tonight. We're getting like really, really close to you can't play him anymore. He is unplayable. The way things are going, when D'Arnaud is back and Contreras can DH, there's just, I don't care what he's getting paid. We're at a point where he is just, again, it's not a major league caliber hitter. It's a hole in the lineup in a way that's just, he hit a ball hard last night. You would have thought there was a party going to be thrown. Hit a line drive, 113 miles off the bat. We're like, oh, he hit a ball hard. That's everything you need to know. So we'll see what the Braves do moving forward. But Ozuna is in the lineup DHing. He's hitting seventh tonight against 7-10 first pitch with Kyle Wright against Nick Pivetta. Coming up in 5 minutes, we continue our countdown to the college football season. We call it 99 problems. We're down to day 24. Item 24 is 5 minutes away. Tease us.
A Hail Mary for a part of the game that has almost disappeared.
All right, we'll get to that coming up shortly. But there was a point, remember when we used to hear about the value of coaches having experience, whether they're college coaches and having some NFL experience or vice versa? Maybe those days have changed.
Quite a bit, as a matter of fact. And I think in the single most dramatic way possible, the value of your head coach being able to talk to a recruit about being in the NFL, that was the value of his experience. I will use Lane Kiffin as an example, Matt. Lane Kiffin didn't even have good experience in the NFL, but he grew up in an NFL house because daddy basically invented invented a defense, at least a coverage mostly.
Yep.
And then he wound up being head coach of the Raiders.
It's like I have no memory of that anymore because he was there for seven seconds. But he was there.
You remember the one play, though. It was against the Falcons. He sent Janikowski out there.
Like a 70-yard field goal or something?
Like a 75-yard field goal or something.
That's funny. Good for him. That's cute.
But the value of that was in the home, on the recruiting visit. I know what the NFL is, and I can get you there because I've coached on Sundays. Do you know what the value of that is now? And specifically, we can use Lane Kiffin as well. It's knowing how to organize tryouts and free agent practices, OTAs. It's knowing how to run a mini camp. It's knowing how to treat a roster strictly as, quote, personnel, not as a student athlete. And Lane Kiffin is actually, do you know how many transfers they have on their roster for this season? 18. They have, I think out of the 85 scholarships, Matt, I think 54 of the 85 have not played for Ole Miss yet. They're either freshmen, redshirt freshmen, transfers, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's a whole lot of turnover. And you know what it can be a little bit like? An NFL roster coming off a tough season where you bring in this guy on a 1 year and that year. And what do? You bring in all these guys on 1 years and you realize we're just going to install it, get through what we got to get. Lane Kiffin being in the NFL, even with bad experience there, he still had to run a free agent tryout, and that's basically what it is.
But you know the difference? You're not doing the legwork in the NFL as the head coach. You have a front office and a scouting department that brings guys
in. I need four kickers.
Whereas in the college game, you're beating the streets.
Well,
constantly.
Okay.
And that's
changed too.
The way this is the same thing that Kirby Smart talked about, the exhaustion of there is no downtime anymore because I'm re-recruiting the same guys, recruiting new guys because my guys are leaving. It's a constant in and out. That has got to be literally exhausting. Whereas the NFL head coach, I don't know how much downtime they have, but it's not the ridiculous recruiting for 12 months that now the college coach has to do.
This has become a regular position that almost every program has. Do you remember our friend Barton Simmons at CSS?
I created Barton Simmons, of course.
That's actually partially true.
I made him who he was. He was just Barton. I gave him his last name.
He played football as a safety at Yale. He was a recruiting guru, et cetera. He was a CSS recruiting expert. Well, now he is the general manager of the Vanderbilt football program.
He is indeed.
Everybody's got GM.
Forget where he came from. Don't call me anymore.
Why do they have a GM? Because they run it like a pro team. They have tryouts. They have OTAs. They bring in prospects. They want to run you through the paces. And if you don't fit, they will run you out after spring practice.
You remember what Jeff Collins said when he came in? He started describing Georgia Tech as the organization. They got a GM. It's a very similar type of running it like a professional outfit.
And so when Lane, and he actually used those words after spring, he said, at the end of May, we're going to bring in a new crop and run them through. And hopefully, he says, it's just like the NFL where after some OTAs, you look around and go, okay, we're weak at this position. We're weak at the secondary. Let's see the street free agents and bring in some of them. He said at the end of spring practice, he's like, yeah, give us another month. At the end of May, we're going to be just like an NFL franchise. And he's right.
Not wrong. I mean, and Lane, by the way, he was one of the few guys super vocal about the lies that were sort of being perpetuated during NIL. He's like, it's not going to help the little guys. It's just going to make the stronger teams even stronger. He's like, I'm here battling right now on a playing field that's not level, and now you're going to give Alabama more money and more opportunity, and it's not going to change anything for them. I'm very bothered right now.
Regarding? Pertaining?
I don't have to make some difficult financial decisions.
Oh.
Have you not heard the latest that came out of Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus? They've all announced their price hikes.
No.
Disney is launching its ad-supported version of Disney Plus.
Wait a minute. That's why you pay for the Plus, is to get rid of the ads.
Ding, ding, ding. Now, they're also increasing the price of its subscription for ad-free Disney Plus and Hulu. If you could hear the screen through soundproof glass.
That's why I pay for something along those lines.
Beginning December 8th, Disney Plus with ads will now cost $8 a month.
We're now buying the Disney Channel. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, now you're paying for a regular old station that has ads.
The same price that Disney Plus currently costs without ads. As a result, the premium ad-free version of Disney Plus will now go up to $11 a month or $110 a year, representing a $3 a month increase, $30 yearly increase. Hulu, seeing the way the price hikes have gone, has raised the price of its ad-supported and ad-free tier beginning October 10th. If you have Hulu, the ad-supported tier, which currently costs $6.99 a month, or $69.99 a year, will now increase to $7.99 a month, up to $80 a year. And the ad-free, which currently is $12.99 a month, will go to $15.
Wow!
Without an option for a yearly subscription. I mean, this is...
We're all going to be Chuck. Nobody's going to have anything.
But we're all cutting cords, and we're going to do, I'm going to have Hulu, and I'm going to have Netflix, and I'm going to have Disney Plus, and that's it. Now you're paying for the price of cable again.
How much is ESPN Plus going to be?
So ESPN
Plus. Because that's Disney as well. It's the same company.
They have raised their price from $6.99 a month to $9.99 a month with the idea that the UFC fans who are
30%.
The UFC fans who are dug in are like, we want to see the Saturday night stuff. We're going to pay for the $9.99 ESPN Plus. This is
way more than that.
See, remember when I said there's nothing they could do to stop us from the password sharing and they do that? This is their way of getting back. Well, you're going to password share, you're going to pay more to share that password. Because honestly, they could come up with every technological advancement. There is no way to put the money and the effort into stop password sharing going on. So this is their recourse. So I would
say, it's not password sharing, it's stealing.
But you say it, potato, potato.
I'm just...
If somebody offers me a password, I'm not stealing it from them. They're sharing it with me. I didn't steal from them.
That bank was offering me money. I mean, I just...
If Hoyt says to me, would you like my Hulu password? And I say, yes. Am I stealing? No, I'm borrowing.
Okay, the conversation I've heard is, Hoyt, give me your password.
I'll give you mine.
No, here's the thing. I went over to Matt's house. He wanted to watch something on Hulu. I left mine.
You left it up?
Logged in.
That's exactly right. So guess what? He shared.
So you're the reason.
I'm the reason. We're all the reason. This is garbage.
ESPN and Disney. If you have ESPN Plus and Disney Plus.
Right.
Then you're paying the same company like $20 a month almost. Or it's more.
Very frustrating. And to Netflix, step your game up, Netflix. There's a reason why so many people are dumping. I need more content.
I tell you what.
Take it back. I need better content. I had a couple of good docs I watched this week. I need better content. Because now Netflix is like, are we $15 or $20 a month for Netflix?
way late on this, like a decade. I'm not kidding, like a decade. Started watching, I think it debuted in 2011. Started watching Justified about a month ago. What a tremendous show. Wow.
Tremendous opportunities.
It was a year ago. I was like, boy, that Alias, Jennifer Garner, I'm a fan of hers. I think it was a 2002.
Let me tell you something. Here's what I'm going to start doing.
I don't think I watched TV for like 10 years.
I'm going to get rid of a TV. I'm going to start doing that thing where you like turn pages and they're
read.
Word. I'm going to do that.
No, you can't charge me.
You cannot charge me for reading.
You listen, though. You don't read.
Oh, I canceled my Audible subscription.
Okay.
I did. It was enough.
Right.
I'm borrowing somebody's password. We're sharing, Chuck. If you're listening and you're from Audible, I'm kidding. This is all for radio shtick.
Or maybe there is a library branch just down the road from you.
Right. Oh, library cards and books are free.
Boom. Yeah, bring them back.
These streamers should be ashamed of themselves.
Yep.
Just ashamed. I'm going to write a letter to Netflix, strongly worded letter, sharing my displeasure with what they're doing.
Into the library.
Chuck and Chernoff back on the road, broadcasting live from Truck and Tap in Alpharetta this Friday from 2 to 6.
I'll be there.
I just said that.
Me and my hose.
Am I the hose?
All of them.
Awesome. It says here, the boys, that's us, will kick off the weekend with Creature Comforts Classic City Lager gift packs to give away, coveted 680 The Fan t-shirts, and you can register to win some baseball tickets. Come hang out with the show, start your weekend with us, and Creature Comforts Classic City Lager at Truck and Tap, 2 to 6:30 Milton Avenue in Alpharetta.
You can have your hose, but you can have your weed.
If you're having sports problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, college ball ain't one.
Yeah, Chuck!
Day
24.
Hail Mary for something I value, honestly, and it is virtually extinct. And because of Kirby, he decided about 3 weeks ago, this will be front and center. And it is how you are allowed to interact with, or like before the game even, how you are allowed to interact before game day, as in an invitation and some tickets and whatever else, for recruits at a neutral site for a regular season game. Now, every team in America probably will have an increasing chance. If you really want to play a week one neutral site paycheck game, those are going to get a lot harder to book, I think, for the promoters, for the sites, like Orlando, Jacksonville, Atlanta. I think they're going to be harder because a lot of those want to go to campus. So that'll be more difficult. But I'm not talking about just the one-offs. I'm talking about the series where year after year we're neutral site. And you're like, well, now, wait a minute. How many are those? Well, I said it's a Hail Mary and it's almost gone. Everybody knows Jacksonville. OU and Texas, of course. Arkansas, Texas A&M, they have turned that into their neutral site thing. Army Navy's a neutral site, but it's sort of a different neutral site. And guess what? They don't really recruit. And they have unlimited scholarships. So, like, every kid on the place is on full scholarship all the time. So there are only a few examples of this. Used to be lots and lots and lots and lots and lots, because with like Mississippi State and Ole Miss, for instance, the stadium in Jackson was the only big one. It was bigger than the campus. It was the only, quote, big one in the state. Well, then that changed. Auburn and Georgia played in Columbus for a long time. Why? Well, because it was the big stadium. Legion Field in Birmingham was the big stadium. Well, Denny Stadium got bigger, and then Bryant Denny got way bigger. So the need for this has gone away, but continuing to hold them, it's something that I just think is kind of neat. The Hail Mary is the change in the stance towards recruiting. Remember, this was a Georgia sort of, you know, instigated thing. It is freeing it up for the few teams left involved in this to try to at least not penalize them. By allowing you to have unofficial visits for recruits and potentially more than that. So like, if you want to read the details of what's going to unfold here, Kirby is always about recruiting. And if he is able to get most of what he wants from a recruiting standpoint in Jacksonville, with keeping the game there, not moving it to Atlanta on campus or whatever, I think good for Georgia fans, Florida fans, everybody involved in the series. Same thing for OU, Texas, anybody else.
Chuck, there's 24 days left. We cannot wait. 24.
That's all that stands between us and the return to college football. Just saw a score that was rather unpleasant.
What?
Mets beat the Reds again today, 10-2.
Ah, boo. Stinking Mets.
This is where I go, the Mets are beating up bad teams. Shouldn't count as much, but they don't want to lose. Coming up next, Kirby and George are once again following the Bama plan.
The Crimson Tide have taken on a sort of bogeyman quality.
The bogeyman?
What is the bogeyman?
No, it's not the bogeyman.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
But the Bama plan makes a lot of sense because it's foolproof. We'll talk about it next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.
It's going down for real.
Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks for making this a part of your Wednesday. We're going to walk you right up to the Ford Leadoff Show, and then it's the Braves and the Sox. Coming up at 7:10 in the Vaughn Grissom. Debut for the Braves, batting ninth, playing second base.
Vaughn is going to try and nail it down.
Nah, he's not pitching. You're way off. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is brought to you by South Point Financial Services. If you're looking to refinance your home or investment property, you need to contact South Point Financial Services at SPFS.com. Coming up in 5 minutes, the Falcons fan base will avoid a particularly awful look this season. And it really wouldn't have been their fault anyway. Chuck will tell you what it is coming up. Before I get to Kirby and the Georgia folks following the Bama way, there's a breaking story we have to talk about.
Oh, what is that?
Well, the headline grabbed me. Ice-T confirms that Neo, in his wild story about receiving permission to grab his wife's butt, is real.
Coco.
So Neo.
She's prominent.
Well, that's the deal, right? So Neo told this story when he was on the Drink Champs podcast.
What a talented dude.
So Neo says, I'm out one night at a Halloween party, and I see Ice-T. And I say to him, and he says, I've had a couple of drinks. He says, I say to him, let me squeeze Coco's booty one time. He says, I literally walked up to him, and she had some stuff on that you wouldn't believe. She says, I walked up to him and said, bro, all due respect, I've wanted to squeeze Coco's ass for a really long time. And you know what? He responded by saying, I'm just the kind of pimp to let you do it. Ice-T then summoned his wife, Coco, over to grant Neo's wish.
I have never summoned my wife.
He called Coco and whispered something in her ear. She looked at Neo, smiled, then bent over, turned around, and said, grab as much as you can handle. He grabbed a handful. Then afterwards...
He said what? another man about his wife?
Correct. So then Neo gets a pound from Ice-T. They said they hung out, drank together for the rest of the night. It was a true story. I'm not sure what to make of all that. I mean, Coco does have quite the ass. Don't
it's
get
prominent.
Me wrong. But I mean, that's ballsy. If you're Neo, to be like, bro, I've wanted to squeeze your wife's ass forever, and can I do it tonight? How does that go in real life?
You have to have a relationship with Ice-T, first of all.
I've got a relationship with you. Can I grab your wife's ass?
No. Actually, yeah, it's up to her, whatever.
I've wanted to for a long time.
But here's the thing. And I mean, here's the out, and I mean, I'm serious about this. Ice-T may have such an understanding of what Coco's
say it
rumpus is.
It's something
that he may realize. Neo and every other man in the room can't help it. If this is what it is, dude, I get it. Maybe that's it.
Can I say this though?
He has such an appreciation and understanding. He's like, no, it ain't the guy's fault.
I love,
Coco, it happened again. Come on over.
I love a good behind, but it's almost like it's very
prominent.
It's like J-Lo, Kim Kardashian, like too much. Like proportion matters. I mean, look at this thing. It's out of control.
It's
a lot. And I like.
That's short yardage.
I mean, I enjoy what's going on, but that's too much.
That's the short yardage package.
So, Neo got a handful. All right, I wanted to talk about what Georgia's got coming up here in just a couple of weeks when they open with Oregon. It's even more intriguing now after the coaches poll was released this week that we're going to have the number 3 team in America, the defending national champions, against number 12 Oregon. I have no idea if Oregon's that good, but the point behind what I'm going to talk to you about doesn't matter. Georgia's going to get the benefit, the bonus of beating a top 15 team as long as they win that game. And because it's played on opening weekend, which I have bitched and moaned for years, that opening weekend in college football is a missed opportunity. It's the one weekend of the year the NFL's like, it's yours, have it. And I think college football should overload that weekend with huge games. You could argue there's only two really prominent sort of grab your attention games. Ohio State will play Notre Dame Saturday night, the same day Georgia will play Oregon at 3:30. That's a great spot for Georgia to be in. They call this a neutral site game. This is a pseudo home game for Georgia where they'll have 90% of Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
When the opponent is almost anyone in Georgia, that would probably be, if it was Clemson, it'd be different.
It might be. It's a short drive.
If it is Oregon, no.
You're going to have a corner of that stadium that some Oregon fans, the rest will all be Georgia fans. So the great thing for Georgia, and this is the Bama plan, nobody will remember that game was a neutral site game. If it comes down to some sort of a tiebreaker or, you know, you start making cases for teams at the end of the year because you want to get an extra team in the playoff, Georgia will only get credit for beating Oregon. It won't be brought up that it was a neutral site game. Now, the committee will know. But when we get into the court of public opinion, you're going to start looking at resumes. This has been an Alabama truism for a decade, and I've always congratulated Saban for cracking the code on this. Bama will always play a pretty good team, but in a neutral site where they know they won't lose.
That has been the pattern. They have changed that now.
They are going forward, but in the last decade.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and it was with intent. When Saban saw what he believed were the winds blowing to an expanded playoff, among other reasons, he was like, let's move these games to campus.
Which this year, Bama actually goes to
Texas.
Like, they can lose that game. I think whenever you're playing in a hostile environment on campus against a good enough, you can lose that game. But Bama in the last decade has beaten Miami 44-13 in Atlanta, and Duke 42-3 in Atlanta. They beat Louisville in a blowout in Orlando. They beat Florida State by 17 in Atlanta. They crushed USC in Dallas. They beat Wisconsin in Dallas. They beat West Virginia here. They beat
the
Tech here.
They beat
Michigan in Dallas. Like, they could lose going to Ann Arbor, even if they're better. You could lose some years Louisville, if they're pretty good, they can beat you when you go into their stadium if you have one of those. But this is the smartest thing Georgia could do in this like situation with Oregon. And it's about to change for Georgia. They're about to make trips to, you know, UCLA, Oklahoma, and the schedule they're about to ramp up. But Georgia's conference schedule is kind of blah, which isn't their fault. It's a reflection of where Tennessee and Florida and all the rest of the conference is today. But at the end of the year, let's say Georgia has a loss. It's a close loss. It happens. I don't know, say it's the SEC championship. But they've run the rest of their table.
And, if the resume is needed.
And Oregon's gone on to take care of the rest of their business, and I don't know if they will or won't. But let's say Oregon remains in the top 10, 12. Do you know the bonus points Georgia will get? It won't be brought up that it was a neutral site. It'll just be, they played Oregon. Top 10, top 12 program. This is a foolproof code. You cannot, this is a no-lose code if you're Georgia. But as I said, and your point is a valid one, Alabama's going to start to play some people. A lot of it will be after Nick's gone on their home turf. But Georgia next September goes to Norman.
Supposed to.
You could lose that game.
Well, if that's a conference game.
Could be. Then they go to UCLA in 2025 at the Rose Bowl. 2026, they're on campus at Louisville. 2027, Georgia's at Doak Campbell against Florida State. Then they'll make a trip to Austin in 2028. So if the expanded playoff is in play, you won't get dinged as much for either playing close or maybe tripping up in one of those. But those are potential actual games you could lose on somebody's home field. You're not losing to Oregon at home. They might play you tougher. You're not losing that game.
What happened to the Ohio State game? Wasn't Georgia supposed to play up there? When was that?
2029 or something?
That was last year, and Ohio State pulled out years ago.
No. I thought there was another one rescheduled, though, for later in the 20s.
There is another one rescheduled, but we were supposed to play them last year.
Yeah, they're at Ohio State in 31. And so they were supposed
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, that was supposed to take place at I was like, I gave Georgia credit because it was sort of upstream when all the preseason games, and it started with Chick-fil-A, and then there's like five more. So it was got a lot easier to get a little check and go to a neutral site.
But they were going
to
play in Columbus.
They were at Colorado, Arizona State, Oklahoma. We know all that stuff. And then there was the lull when, let's just take the check. I gave them credit because they had that Ohio State game kind of hanging out there.
How crazy would that be? Oh, my God. Can you imagine what a Georgia, Ohio State, and Columbus would look like? The ticket price itself would just be astronomical. That's, you know, 2031 as of now. That could happen. All right, so the Falcon fan base, Chuck says, will avoid a particular awful look this season, although it probably wouldn't have been their fault anyway.
Yeah, and if you remember the Falcons schedule, as it lays out, there is one way that I think that the schedule sort of inadvertently gives Falcons fans an out. It would have been a bad look. Julio was going to get booed big MFing time when the Bucs visit Atlanta this season. It's the last home game of the season. It's in week 18, and I believe the home crowd that day will probably be 25,000 maybe showing up to see the team wrap up about a 5-win campaign. Now, can I give you the asterisk on that?
All right.
If somehow we know that that is Brady's last game ever, then the joint's packed.
Okay.
But if this were a week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 before the Falcons are buried sort of thing, and the reason I say I'm not going to blame the fans, if you felt like Julio, either the last couple of seasons here on the way out the door, showed his rear end, blah, you want to boo him, knock yourself out. While I won't advise any Falcons fan he or she shouldn't boo Julio, do that for your choice, I will tell you that nationally, it would have been an awful, 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 awful look. Anyone outside the fan base wasn't paying attention all the Sundays. He either literally didn't play or had obviously decided, despite being in a uniform, yeah, I'm not playing today. And then him being Matt Pissy, and I'm going to say almost childish on his way out the door after almost a decade of being the perfect bust his tail, outwork everybody else in a Falcons uniform guy the past, like the last season or so. And then when he left, it was the exact opposite. We don't know everything that happens behind the doors, closed doors, but from his standpoint, we just know publicly. But nationally, when they, and in Atlanta, Julio Jones returns and boo-boo every time he caught the ball. It would be shown on NFL primetime or the wrap-up thing on NFL Network. Everyone else would just see and hear the booing while reading across the bottom of the screen, 10 seasons, 848 catches, 12,896 yards, 60 touchdowns. And whoever was watching anywhere outside Atlanta would be like, he gave you that and you're booing him? Because they didn't see all the other stuff. It would have been a really bad look.
I think you'd look stupid if you boo him. And you could do it if you want. That's the Twitter crowd.
That's what I'm saying. I would give you, well, you do what you want, but it'd be a really, really bad look.
Here's what I would do.
Nobody's going to be there. It won't happen.
I don't know if nobody will be there. We'll see. Here's what I would do. I'd stand up and give him a standing ovation because he's one of the greatest players in the history of the franchise. He won the Super Bowl that they stole from him because his coaches were dumb. And we can get into the way everything ends. Nothing ends well. Freddie Freeman, there was a 6-minute standing ovation. That thing didn't end well. Freddie botched that thing in a way that was just despicable. He could have taken less. He wanted more. People gave him a standing O. It's your choice to do whatever the hell you want to do at a game. Don't make an asshat of yourself. Booing Julio Jones makes you an asshat. Like, that guy's the, if you want to start ranking the greatest players in Falcon history, he's in the top 2 or 3. Whatever you want to start doing.
I think he's number 2. If you take quarterbacks out, because quarterbacks don't count, Deion Julio.
Okay. Now, the Matt Ryan end is also ugly. The way that one ends, Matt's going to come back with the same.
Oh, they effed it up even with Matt Ryan. You're right.
All this stuff ends poorly. Now, very rarely will it ever end. The people here booed Tom Glavine when he came back, which I couldn't understand. But they thought, well, he was greedy. Whatever. You have your right. You pay for the ticket. You'll look silly. Like, I always think we want to look like a big-time sports city. Julio Jones is one of the, he's going to one day come back here and get the 11 up in the rafters. He's going to come back and do that thing where they parade him around in a convertible. I mean, like, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Was that a Sunday night or a Thursday night against the Ravens? They did that with Deion. And didn't it take like 20 years?
Stupid.
For Deion to come back and get it?
Yeah, because people were mad at Deion.
Yes.
People, like, this city was mad at Deion for getting fed up with being in a losing culture, and he said, I'm one of the great players of all time. I want to go to a great franchise. People were mad at him for that.
Curiosity point. I said, if this is like a, let's say that day, Matthew, it's like January 8th.
I think that's right.
If it is a, what would that be, 5-11 versus
11-5, it could be.
What do you think the crowd's going to be?
I don't know. I think you get a sense that it could be Brady's last game and you want to be there.
Not if they're going to the playoffs.
I know, but the last time in Atlanta, I think you'll want to be there. I think Brady will draw.
Okay.
I think some Julio fans will show up too. But again, do I know that for a fact? No, it's Atlanta. That place is half empty for every game. But no matter who's in there, like, I just think it would be such a weird look. Had you booed Freddie Freeman, I said this in the offseason too, if you booed Freddie, it would have been a bad look. And people were mad at Freddie, which, whatever, it's your choice. But you can't ignore it. I love what Matt Ryan said. Matt said it beautifully. He's like, I'm not going to let the last 2 weeks remove the last 14 years. Like, he's like, I'm going to have that good taste in my mouth, not the last 2 weeks. I mean, fans can act any way they want, but I don't know, man. I respect some of the great players. We don't have a laundry list like Boston or
no.
Chicago or New York. And, you know, those guys, to me, when they come back in, I'd give him a round of applause. Chuck's got a college football today. I'm going to boo him if I don't like it.
No.
It's coming up next. Yes, we will all boo you. What can we look forward to?
The SEC's 5 most important August outcomes. That list has been whittled.
Boo. Don't like the tease.
Boo this
boo,
man.
Son. Oh, I thought that was going to keep going.
Boo this.
We'll find out the payoff for the CFT next. Bro, I've wanted to squeeze your wife's ass forever, and can I do it tonight?
Big, big booty, but you got a big booty.
Ooh.
Big, big booty, but you got a big booty.
That's what happens when you're taken out of context. And context is king, everybody. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
He was quoting Danny Ferry. That was not really his own word.
Either that or Neo, maybe both. I don't know. We're with you until the Ford leadoff show, and then it's the Braves and the Red Sox game two of their quick two-gamer. Braves have another day off tomorrow, and then they're in Miami against the Marlins for 4 games in 3 days. Chuck, Friday Night Football is back.
Oh, I know that.
And all season long, 680 The Fan is bringing you the best high school football action from around the state.
Where do the high school girls hang out?
I imagine high school. You can join the 680 The Fan team each Friday night throughout the season for the Friday Night Football game of the week. Catch some great featured games on the 680 The Fan app and on the radio. This season's first matchup is coming up Friday, August 19th at 7:30 as the North Cobb Warriors head to Atlanta to take on the Westlake Lions. The Friday Night Football game of the week is presented by Truist and powered by Georgia Power, along with Marco's Pizza, the University of West Georgia, and Fox 5 Atlanta. Stay tuned for all the live coverage during the game and then post-game for the Georgia High School Scoreboard Show with Steve West and the rest of the 680 The Fan crew, it says.
Wow, everybody else has been...
Who's the rest of the crew?
It's going to rotate between myself, Mooneyham, Carl, and Doug.
You only got the crew?
2 of us are going to be calling games. The other 2 will be back. So
all right.
Steve's going to be the constant.
So Westy is the gang. He's always
the staple.
He is indeed.
Westy and the sports gang.
He'll give you all the great high school football analysis, scores, updates from around the state.
Where do the high school girls hang out?
Off the back high school.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta, because money matters.
Good to be the king.
DuffyRealtyATL.com. Do with it what you know you need to do with it with. I said the SEC's 5 most important August outcomes. Now it's down to 4. Missouri has announced, Eli has announced, Brady Cook will start at quarterback, at least to start the season, Brady Cook. Who is Brady Cook? Well, I'll kind of get to him in a minute, but... you know that no matter what else is being decided for him, this is the weird thing. No matter what is being decided at Alabama about their right tackle job or at LSU about, I don't know, the second receiver, quarterback at Missouri is more impactful to the SEC season as a whole. Because if you make the right choice at Missouri, you may win a game or two that maybe you wouldn't think, and you can affect the standings versus making the wrong choice and everything flies off the rails. Tyler Macon was not the wrong. He's going to be the other choice, but really different quarterback. They are both, I guess, sophomores by some stretch. Brady Cook was on the 2020 team, but it was COVID and et cetera. So he played some last year. Remember, Connor Bates, like 2-year starter, he takes off. Transfers to Indiana, so it was going to be Brady Cook, Tyler Macon, Jack Abraham. He didn't win the job. Jack Abraham is a sixth-year player at his sixth college program, and he did not win the job. So I don't know whether Jack Abraham, but that's up to that kid and his own choices. Brady Cook will be the starter to begin the season. He's a big, tall, pro-style passer. Here's the interesting thing. Brady Cook, who was in the class of 2020, Tyler Macon, who was in the class of 21, they're both 3-star recruits, good enough for quarterbacks, both from St. Louis. Really different bodies, games, etc., background, certainly. Private Academy versus East St. Louis, but Brady Cook is going to be the guy, and that means that Eli thinks maybe I can somehow replicate the ground game where I don't need the quarterback to be as involved. Interesting, because you lose Tyler Beatty, who last year led the SEC in rushing. So if you're going to replicate, you got to feel real good about your backfield to go with Brady Cook. So that is sort of a commentary on two position groups in Missouri. But that's settled. Still LSU, A&M, Auburn, Ole Miss. Got to work out the quarterback thing.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
I got a look from Hoyt, and you were starting to drift. I went a little deep on the Missouri thing, didn't
I? You went there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, can I mention one thing? On this show, Chuck Oliver told you, the audience, bet Wake Forest, bet the over. And I saw some news today that I think will affect your ticket.
Yeah, Sam Hartman, following a workout yesterday.
That's the quarterback at Wake, for those of you who don't know anything about Wake.
I think the rising sixth-year quarterback, maybe the rising fifth-year quarterback, but he's played a lot of football, and he's an old man, and he was going to lead the way, and he's out indefinitely, and no information has been released that I've seen publicly.
All they're saying is an extended period of time with a medical issue. Some are guessing that it may be some sort of a mental health thing, but nobody knows.
That's not my understanding.
Oh, really? They're calling it a non-football related medical condition, which, again, everything I saw people putting together, thought it might have been something in that realm.
So it's, HIPAA and all is, pretty good sometimes. And so he's a really accomplished quarterback. And that was really set up for, how about this, Matt, in the last year of divisions? How about Wake Forest goes for its second straight Atlantic Division, and they could have won the Atlantic Division this year. But again, all that'll change. But he's got a real big picture to deal with. And so Sam Hartman out for the year. Out indefinitely.
Right.
Would not surprise me if this extends, beyond just maybe a few weeks.
See, what you did is you bet it too early.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Yeah. That's absolutely true. You know what never happens? Virtually never happens. Something changes so that a team's number rises, like in the good way.
Right.
But you can lose a guy like this. It was $200.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't. You yell at us for the HBO money. We spend $9 a month.
You bet Stetson Bennett.
Value. And I bet 20. $200. I'm sorry. You must not have kids, $200.
I'm still going to win mine.
This guy, $200. He's throwing. What a life. Just $200.
At 240, actually, was minus.
Wow!
Was minus the number.
Must be doing well. This guy, $240, huh?
Throwing money on what was it, 200-1?
Yeah.
200-1.
$20.
Okay, but I'm reckless.
You are. $240. That's like a car payment.
What?
In 1982. Coming up next, Austin Riley and Hank Aaron now have two things in common.
They're both white.
Not accurate.
We'll edit that part out.
Too late. Plus, I hope Chuck is sitting down, because this Falcons news might knock him down. I'll share it with him and you next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.